program. The opinions contained within do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or sponsors of News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310.
Inside the Law is presented to educate listeners in Monmouth and Ocean counties about legal issues. The opinions expressed by the host, guests, and phone callers are strictly their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Town Square Media and are not intended to be a substitute for personal legal advice from your own attorney.
Your questions and comments are welcome at 732-505-1160. Inside the Law, talk radio for the Jersey Shore.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Law. We welcome our residents in Ocean and Monmouth County and all over the world that are listening to us on the Internet. My name is Bob Novy. I'm a proud sponsor of this show and a member of the law firm of Novy & Associates, which is a boutique law firm that specializes in elder law, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that throughout the show. You're listening to 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County, and all over the world on WOBMAM.com. Every week, we literally take you, the listener, inside the law to learn about a topic of interest, and we also give you an opportunity to call in if you have any questions about the subject matter of today's show, or if you have any other questions regarding something of a legal nature. Perhaps you read something in a newspaper recently, or you heard some comments from a friend or neighbor, or you're just curious about something of a legal nature. As always, we'd like to hear from you, and our phone lines are open. Our number at the studio is 732-505-1160, and as always, we invite you to have a pen and pad handy, because we give out a lot of important information, phone numbers, and upcoming events. So sit back and enjoy this morning's show. Today I'm happy to welcome two very good friends and colleagues who are very important in our Ocean and Monmouth County community. Please welcome Denise Gaffney and Dr. Victor Almeida. Denise serves as Vice President of Monmouth Medical Center Southern Campuses Foundation, and Dr. Almeida is the Director of the Emergency Department at both Monmouth Medical South and Monmouth Medical North emergency rooms. And today we're going to be talking about a hospital update for 2014, geriatric emergency rooms and how they differ from regular emergency rooms, and how Monmouth Medical, and in particular its Southern Campus, will continue to provide better care options for you, members of our community. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning, Bob.
Thank you, especially for taking time out of a busy schedule this holiday season and come on our show. Denise, a lot has happened at Monmouth Medical South in the last year. Can you give us kind of an overview and the audience an overview of what's happened with the hospital and the direction it's heading in going forward?
Yes, I'd be happy to. It's really an exciting time. I don't know if all of you know, but the old Kimball Medical Center, we celebrated not long ago 100 years of Kimball Medical Center, has been kind of in flux for over the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years on the direction on where we were going. Whether there was a lot of talk about closing the hospital, there was a lot of talk about selling the hospital, there was a lot of talk about doing different things. And I think with the new leadership team at Barnabas Health over the last few years and the new leadership team at Kimball Medical Center, they worked very hard over the last several years to really make sure we did the right thing for the community and that we wanted to remain present and be a benefit for our community. There is definitely a community need for a small community hospital, but we needed to change, and we needed to do something aggressive and something really forward-thinking. So we took it upon, with the vote of the boards of both hospitals and our community leaders, we merged the medical center. Kimball Medical Center now merged with Monmouth Medical Center in Long Branch. What does that mean? That means we ended an era of Kimball Medical Center, and we're starting a new era of what was renamed as Monmouth Medical Center's Southern Campus. So we are now part of Monmouth Medical Center in Long Branch as a Southern Campus. Well, in doing that, it has allowed us to expand the Monmouth Medical Center North, I'll call it, services down into our catchment area. We have opened several offices in the Howell-Lakewood border area, and we're now bringing those really highly qualified and expert services, physicians, down to our service area so that patients no longer need to drive far to Long Branch or even lose them out of the system. They could go somewhere else for these specialty services. So what does that mean? That means now you could see a neurologist specializing in Parkinson's or ALS. You could see pediatric neurologist specialists. You can see cardiologists there. We now have a hematological oncology physician seeing patients there. We're bringing surgeons into that service area that specialize in services that we didn't normally provide before. We're able to provide such as bariatric surgery or minimally invasive, difficult surgeries that we now can offer our patients in our residents.
Now, as you're describing this, what comes to my mind is that, and Dr. Almeida can certainly attest to this, as we know, a large, significant portion of our population, especially in Ocean County, are seniors. I think Ocean County has the second largest percentage or per capita of seniors in the country. Number one is the whole state of Florida. So, as I understand it, specializing more in geriatric care, which I know Monmouth North has done for years and now Monmouth South is able to do, will really address in particularly the health needs of our senior population.
Yes, I'm kind of moving in that direction.
Okay.
We found when we did an assessment of the community, what was our needs? Our needs were geriatric. Also, we found a high cancer rate in our catchment area. So we're bringing down from Monmouth, again, a high-risk cancer assessment program as well. So some of the geriatric programs that we are bringing down to our area, geriatrics is going to be really a primary focus for us in the southern campus. But if you think about Monmouth Medical Center North and Monmouth Southern Campus, we want to kind of close that gap and bring the services through Howell, Jackson, and the Lakewood community and have these services offered. What's nice about partnering with Monmouth Medical Center in Long Branch is that it is an academic teaching hospital, which means it performs clinical trials that can be expanded to our region. Some people are comfortable with academic teaching hospitals. They feel like, you know, it's kind of an additional perk to have it be a teaching hospital, whereas Monmouth South is really a small community hospital. So what this partnership does is it brings those physicians right into our backyard, allowing our community to visit these doctors without traveling to Long Branch.
Okay.
So the geriatric program is really a focus for us. And we could talk a little bit about what Dr. Almeida is here to talk
which is
our GEM unit.
Exactly. Now, Doc, as I understand it, you're director of the emergency room medicine at both Monmouth Medical in Long Branch and in Lakewood?
Yes.
So, again, dealing with the adult population that we have, especially in Ocean County, and I'm sure this is a significant adult population in Monmouth County as well, how does a geriatric emergency room differ from a normal, everyday emergency room?
Well, as people are getting older, their problems that they end up having tend to be much different, even from, you know, somebody who is young and maybe pregnant versus a child who comes in. The needs are different. So as it has been identified, the community in Ocean and to some extent Monmouth County has a need to care for geriatric patients. And if you look at how healthcare is being delivered across the country, we find that for the next 22 years, 10,000 people a day are turning the age of 65. That is a huge tsunami of people that will be coming into the healthcare system and utilizing services. So the delivery of healthcare is going to change just by virtue of having all these patients coming in. So probably about five years ago, Monmouth Medical Center, the Northern Campus, ended up receiving a grant. It was done in partnership with the Department of Medicine and Department of Emergency Medicine. They solicited the federal government for funds to try to look at different models to care for people. And, you know, for the audience that's out there today, I just want to tell you, medicine is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And we, the physicians, the hospitals, are going to have to adapt to the different environment. And I think that many people that are out there are going to feel the change, and they're going to wonder what's going on. There's a shift to moving healthcare to an outpatient basis. First of all, ideally, they want to keep everybody healthy and prevent them from getting sick. So that's number one. We're going to take that off the table. But if you become ill, the goal is to try to get you to the appropriate level of care. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you had any illness, the answer was, well, yeah, maybe I'll go see my doc. But if I'm ill, they would put you in the hospital, keep you in there for a week or 2 weeks, run every test known to man, and then you would be discharged. Some people still have that understanding of that's how healthcare is going to be delivered. But I will tell you that the healthcare market is changing, and it's going to be moving more to an outpatient basis. And so the goal of the geriatric emergency department is to provide additional services to help elder patients who come in.
So are there certain criteria that a senior adult, someone over the age of 65, I guess, as one of your criteria, who presents him or herself to the hospital on an emergency basis, are there certain criteria that would guide the hospital, whether it's Monmouth North or South, to, if you will, fast-track them and send them into the geriatric emergency room versus the everyday emergency room? There's certain criteria that would be followed to determine what's an appropriate place to send them.
Yes. So for the geriatric emergency department, it's not just about a physical place, but it's about a service that's provided to the patient, and that's what the ultimate goal is. So, yes, as you present to the emergency department, whether you're to the northern or the southern campus, when you present, there's 10 screening questions that they will ask you. And predicated on these screening questions, it will determine if you do go to the geriatric emergency department. There are many people who are 70, 80, and 90 who are highly functional and who may not go there because they do not meet any of the criteria.
Meaning they're there for some condition that might be unique, it's not a recurring problem?
Correct, and that they're highly functional, both cognitively and their ability to get around, motion and locomotion is fine. But for the average person who's coming in, there are 10 screening questions that we use. One is if you're older than 80, so we won't use the age cutoff short of that.
Okay.
But if you're having memory issues, if you have feelings of loneliness, if you've been falling, if you're a frequent visitor to the emergency department, if you're on a lot of different medicines, because if most people may not know that the number one reason that many patients who present to the emergency department is usually from a drug-drug interaction or a
cool.
side effect.
Polypharmacy?
Polypharmacy.
Okay.
So if we can try to identify some of these issues proactively, and the goal is being proactive, if we can find these problems early before it becomes something serious, we can give the patient a better quality of life, have a better outcome. So that's the goal. And to get them to the segue to that would be you're also trying to get somebody to the right level of care because not everyone will need to be admitted to the hospital. Sometimes the most appropriate thing may be to go to a rehab facility, or perhaps you just need a couple of services at home because you've had a bad time, or perhaps maybe you've been lonely and you're depressed and you need to get some type of follow-up with psychiatric services, which is different.
I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to 1160 WOBM AM in Ocean County and 1310 AM in Monmouth County. Our phone lines are open. Our number here at the studio is 732-505-1160, and we welcome your questions and comments. As we know, and I see it as an elder law attorney, sometimes clients, seniors, are not the best of historians. And if they present themselves, they don't always recall what medications they're taking, who their doctors are, who to contact if some follow-up is required or somebody needs to arrange for care at home or what have you. And I've been advocating for years that the hospitals maintain a central database where some of this information can be stored, including their date of birth, their Social Security number, what doctors they're regularly seeing, what medications they're taking, who are the responsible people that can assist them in the event of an emergency, whether it's someone as their decision maker for healthcare decisions, which is represented in a medical power of attorney, someone who can assist with end-of-life decisions, as are commonly reflected in an advance directive for living will, someone who can help arrange for and pay for the services if they can transition back home through a financial power of attorney. As I understand it now, the Barnabas system, which includes both hospitals, now has a computer program called Cerner. So some of these documents can be scanned into the system. So when a patient, especially if they're a frequent flyer who regularly appears at the hospital, some of this information can be kept on record, and it's available in their, I guess, patient portal. So if you're seeing them as an ER doctor for the first time, but they've been in the system in the past, regardless of which hospital, there's more information that might be readily available to you that might help better identify if you have polypharmacy issues or if they need a referral to another doctor. I assume it would help with a more efficient treatment and perhaps shorten the length of stay.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the nice things about the changing environment with healthcare is the ability to now – We're just in the infancy of really sharing data and information.
Right.
So for Barnabas Health, we've been using all of the emergency departments through all the facilities as well as the remainder of the hospitals as a whole can now share data. And we're almost to the point where it's almost completely seamless between the emergency department, the inpatient, radiology, and lab. So if a patient presents to the northern campus and then – I discharge the patient from the hospital, and they present to the southern campus on the same day, the next day, 2 days later, I would have access to that information. And it is so helpful to have that information. First of all, sometimes you have the diagnosis that has been made already. They've had multiple tests that have been completed already. And in years past, if that patient were to present to the northern campus and then the same day present to the southern campus with the same complaint, they would have likely had the exact same workup twice in one day. And we would commonly see that with patients who may have abdominal pain, somebody who may be having some type of fever. The testing would have been done. So this is a great way to share information through the system. But the best thing is that the law is going to mandate in the next 3 years that not only will the sharing of information occur within Barnabas Health itself, it will occur first on a county level. So all of our hospitals that are in Ocean and Monmouth County would be sharing information. And then some point in the future, maybe 5 to 10 years, it would be all immediately available within a state database. So that database is being built, and we anticipate within the next 3 to 5 years, we will share it as a region, which will be tremendous as well, because if somebody doctor shops, let's say, and some people do it for different purposes, some people who truly are ill and they go from one place to the other to try to get an answer that they're looking for or perhaps having the correct diagnosis made. But sometimes people are just going place to place for not ideal reasons, let's put it that way.
Now, if a patient comes to the hospital, either hospital, Monmouth North or South, and they are sent to the geriatric emergency room for care and treatment, what kind of follow-up exists? And, or I should back up and ask, who are some of the members of the team that follow the patient when they arrive at the geriatric unit?
Well, So for the geriatric emergency department, you still have a physician who is coordinating the care. With that physician, you have a team that is built. And I will tell you that the physician is only a part of that team. And sometimes, you know, patients' expectation is, gee, it's the physician who does everything. But I will tell you that it's coordination with the team. And so there will probably be a nurse. There may be a mid-level provider to assist the physician in doing certain things. We have a pharmacist who will help review your medications, and we have a caseworker or social worker trying to determine what your needs may be outside of the hospital once you, if you are discharged home, or perhaps if you need to get to a different facility. Again, perhaps a psychiatric facility, perhaps a rehab facility, perhaps a nursing home, perhaps assisted living. So they will try to get you to the right location. And so it's that team that makes the geriatric emergency department highly functional. And that's the goal, having a good team, getting that patient to the right level of care, because bringing people, you know, the other thing is that the days of bringing people into the hospital for days and days at a time, it just can't happen. It's not cost effective, and sometimes people who are in the hospital for long periods of time will become injured. And so,
and they do become compromised, don't they?
Yes.
Especially if they're bedbound and they're bedbound indefinitely, I would think that their ambulation can be affected, their memory can be affected, there could be confusion and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, Denise, when you started out your career, you were a nurse.
I still am a nurse.
You still, that's right, I'm sorry.
That's right.
As is my wife,
that's
once
right.
a nurse, always a nurse.
You're still married.
That's right.
Last I looked, yes.
So it must be interesting and exciting for you to witness an evolution in healthcare as you're witnessing firsthand at Monmouth, at Monmouth Southern Campus with this new GEM unit.
Yeah, we're very excited about the changes that we're making. And as a nurse, I think I feel a different compassion and understanding of the patient needs. So it kind of goes hand in hand with my job and then coordinating a lot of the efforts of the hospital. I mean, we're seeing inpatient admissions dropping and the demand, as Dr. Almeida said, growing for outpatient services. And we have a renewed emphasis on wellness. And
right.
we're going to continue to adjust our operations to meet these needs. And in the future, we will be managing, like I think we referenced before, populations of people, and actually taking on populations and measuring improving their health and well-being. A lot of hospitals are talking about doing this, but we are moving forward as a system very quickly in 2015. You're going to see a lot of new initiatives coming forth, and we're excited about it. And I'm just going to jump back a step, because talking about the new Monmouth Southern Campus, talking about the campus, just so you know that we are very serious about this endeavor and that we're very committed to it, and we're very committed to making it work. The Barnabas Health System has invested $11 million into the facility in the Southern Campus. Right now we're under construction in our main lobby. We're kind of giving it a refresh. But most importantly, most of that $11 million is going to go to the renovation of the hospital patient rooms, which are all going to become private rooms.
And I'm not mistaken, are we also, or did we already upgrade our radiology equipment?
We did. Last year we put in a new interventional radiology suite.
Okay.
Yes. And it does diagnostic, non-invasive diagnostic procedures. And that was $1.2 million worth of investment that came from the foundation. And our lovely auxilium members helped us purchase that piece of equipment.
God bless those ladies and gentlemen. They work very hard.
Very, very hard. And I will tell you on air that over the last 2 years, last year they collectively raised $400,000. And this year, they're close to that at $380,000 for the hospital.
Between the auxilians
and
the
thrift shops. Correct.
Mm, right.
But most importantly, getting back to our patient care and providing you with new private rooms. The entire hospital will be private rooms. Yes, we have downsized the number of beds because we don't see a need to increase the beds. We see a need to have private rooms, which will be enhance the patient's experience, will help the patient heal in a more healing environment, protect them from other bacteria or germs or infections that are brewing with other patients that you used to have to share a room with. So we're very excited about that. And then the last phase of the expansion and renovation will be a renewed front of the building on Route 9. We're going to have an access into our ambulatory pavilion services and some additional parking and make it look, people will identify it as a medical center from the highway. So we have lots of ongoing construction over the next year and a half, and we look forward to really providing a wonderful patient experience, and that has to do with the geriatric population and the general population. You know, we talk about geriatrics, but I don't want anybody to think that we're going to be a geriatric hospital, but we feel that that should be our primary focus because we do live in an area where we have the need to provide this service, and we're moving on to providing in the future a geriatric institute, which will be led by Dr. Jesse Israel, who's a geriatrician and very committed to the geriatric population, along with her partner in crime, I call it Joan Wills. Mm-hmm. They are coordinating now a geriatric institute at the Southern Campus, which will consist of hopefully some outpatient assessment and workup, and then maybe an ACE unit, which is an acute care for the elderly, excuse me. And that will be a separate geriatric unit within the hospital. And then we also are looking at expanding some other services. So we are focusing on our geriatric population. We want it to be a wonderful experience and a really good patient outcome.
We have a lot more to cover, but before we do, I know our sound engineer, Lauren, wants to present an important message. So, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. We'll be back after these important announcements. And remember, our phone lines are open. Our number here at the studio is 732-505-1160. And when we return, we're going to talk about some of the success stories that I know Dr. Almeida will be able to share with us with his experience and affiliation with the Monmouth Medical North and Southern campuses and his background in geriatric and emergency room medicine. Thank you.
Is Tommy asleep?
Yes. Thanks for tackling the dishes. I'll dry.
I stopped in to check on Dad after work.
Oh, how is he?
Fine. He's thinking about moving to assisted living, and he brought up the topic of his will.
Well, that's a pretty gloomy topic.
Not really. All his life, Dad has been such a planner. You know, dots all of his I's and crosses all of his T's. And he asked if we have wills as well.
Us? But we're still young.
Yes, but think about it. If something, heaven forbid, ever happens to us, what happens to Tommy?
Oh, I never thought about that.
Neither have I, till Dad brought it up.
Well, then perhaps we should get in touch with a lawyer to take care of this matter as soon as possible.
From creating or revising a will to knowing what your legal obligations are when buying or selling a home, understanding taxes or needing help with assisted living, depend on valuable guidance from Novi & Associates in Manchester and Seagirt. They've been helping people of all ages easily understand legal concepts that will affect them and their families. Call Novi & Associates today at 732-657-0600 or visit online at novilaw.com.
Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Inside the Law, brought to you by the law offices of Novi & Associates, your elder law specialists here in the Ocean and Monmouth County area. With me today are friends and colleagues, Dr. Victor Almeida, who is the Director of Emergency Room Medicine at Monmouth Medical Center in Long Branch and Monmouth Medical Southern Campus in Lakewood, and Denise Gaffney, Vice President of Monmouth Medical Southern Campus Foundation. And we're talking about healthcare, geriatric care, and the role that both hospitals are playing as we address our senior adult population's needs and everyone's desire, wherever possible, to age in place in the privacy and dignity of their own home. Before we continue, however, we have a caller on line one. Lauren, who's on the line? Good morning. Welcome to Inside the Law, and how can we help you?
Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
We're new to the area, and I understand Monmouth Medical South has a new geriatric emergency room. I just tuned in late. Could you tell me the difference from a regular ER to that? And, again, my mother needs a new geriatric physician in the area. Can you folks help us with that?
I think that would be fine. So the geriatric emergency department, we'll talk about the physical space because we didn't talk about the physical space.
That's true.
So it's a separate – it's kind of a separate area off the emergency department, number one. Number two, it's meant to be a quieter environment because, again, as people get older, they're not accustomed. They can be disturbed by having a lot of noise. So it's in an area which is kind of contained, and ideally it's meant to be quiet. It has special lighting so that during the day – the lighting is a little softer, but it provides the ability to walk, so the lighting is focused right at the ground. There are special beds. The beds have particular air mattresses, which are very comforting for the patient, so that they're not going to develop bed sores. They're going to just – the comfort level is certainly there. There's amenities as far as, you know, a TV, et cetera, in addition to – having bedside computers and workstations for the staff when they come to see the patient. But there's anti-skid floors. There are controls that are right in the hands of the patient at the bedside to help. So each of these things is of a benefit to the patient, and those are kind of the, you know, the creature comforts that many people just look at. You know, it's a new facade. They ended up redoing each of the rooms to – make them really private, and we try to provide as much care as possible there. Sometimes end-of-life care will go on in the emergency department there if that's appropriate, but many times if a consultant needs to come in, that work will also be done in the emergency department. But that is only a small portion. It's really having the case manager, the geriatrician, the pharmacist who will review the medications, going over the patient to make certain to review what their home status is, to look at other issues in addition to the medical issues that may be ongoing to care for the patient. With respect to getting hooked up, I'd probably leave that one to Denise. You know, Dr. Israel, and there are a number of other physicians who work at the Southern Campus who can try to do it as this ACE unit or this inpatient unit and outpatient center are developed. In the Ocean County area, I think that, and Denise could probably tell you the timeline on that.
And yes. If I may, to answer Bisha's question, by the way, if she or any other member of our listening audience would like to learn more about the unit, the new GEM unit at Monmouth South, or if they're a Monmouth County listener, how can they, first of all, take a tour, or do you offer tours to different community groups? And secondly, let's say, as our caller is looking for a new geriatric physician for her mother because they recently moved down here, can the hospital act as a resource to hook them up with a geriatrician?
Yeah, I will answer that in one second. I just want to add to what Dr. Almeida said about the GEM unit.
Yes.
And to put it very lay terms, I feel like when a geriatric patient is assessed in the GEM unit, they're assessed holistically.
Right.
You know, that's a nice way of looking at it. Like if a 40-year-old came into the emergency room with a broken arm, I kind of break it down like this. They'd fix the arm and they'd send them home. If a geriatric patient came in with a broken arm, they'd say, okay, let's fix the arm and then let's see why do we think that patient fell? Mm-hmm. Why are they on too many medications? Do they have a balance disorder? Are they, look at their environment. Are there too many? They live alone and it's cluttered and scattered and they're tripping. So they look at them holistically and then they follow up with the patient to make sure that this patient follows up with the services or appointments that are needed to continue their path to wellness. So I just wanted to add that little. Sometimes it gives it a nice reference. But we would love for you to contact us. We have a general number that's called the Barnabas Health Link, And if you call this number, they could give you information on specific physicians that you're looking for. And I will give you that number if you have a pen right handy.
Please.
It's 888-724-7123.
Great.
I highly recommend Dr. Jessica Israel. She is wonderful. She's new to the Southern campus. She has been at the Monmouth North campus for a while. And I just, I have to give her a plug because I think she's wonderful.
She loves what she does. She's passionate about what she does.
If I'm not mistaken, she trained at Mount Sinai, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she did.
Excellent credentials, as are yours.
It's an exciting time for us infusing this area with a lot of really quality physicians and services.
Okay. Bisha, I want to thank you for taking the time to call and listen to the show. And again, our lines are open. Our number here at the studio is 732-505-1160.
And if you're new to the area, yes. Bob Novi and Associates is the person you need.
He's wonderful. You said it, I didn't. But if you need help with elder care and elder law, we do fit that bill. We'll be happy to consider us as a resource as well. Doctor, can you share with us any success stories that you've been part of and witnessed, as part of this geriatric care specialty?
Sure. Let's see. I think within the first 3 days in February when the gym opened. So there was a woman who was elderly who had come in, and it was identified that she was on multiple medications. She happened to be a snowbird. I hate to use that word, snowbird, but half the time in Florida, half the time up in New Jersey. So she had come up. She was while she was down in Florida, she went to see a physician in a outpatient care center. The physician put her on an antibiotic. The antibiotic, was to treat some bronchitis, what may have been a bacterial type of infection or viral for that matter. But needless to say, she was placed on an antibiotic, and she was on a long list of medications. So when she came to the geriatric emergency department, they too evaluated her. And the pharmacist reviewed her medication list and identified that there was a drug-drug interaction. She happened to be on a potent blood thinner, and this particular blood thinner interacts with many medications, but in particular antibiotics. So what was identified is that an additional blood test needed to be completed, and lo and behold, that blood test was abnormal. So her blood was actually too thin, and some type of very minor injury could have hurt her, or she could have bled spontaneously into her brain or into her GI tract. So you would say, big deal. But if you proactively identify this problem, you could save downstream, meaning you prevented somebody maybe from having to be transfused blood, somebody who has to get admitted to the hospital, perhaps saving somebody having a stroke where they are bleeding in their brain and could have a permanent disability related to it. So proactively looking after and trying to identify these drug-drug problems, because, again, that is a pretty common reason people present to the department, can be very well. So what happened is, we identified the problem. We took the patient off the particular antibiotic that she was on. We placed her on a different antibiotic that would not interfere with it, and we made arrangements for her to hold her medication and stop it. So, for a short period of time until the blood level got back to its kind of normal range of where you would like to keep it. So I would tell you, I think that those are the kinds of things that probably happen very often in medicine, and having tools and a mechanism in place, and this is about putting processes in place to help treat older people. That's one that came to mind, and that was within the first week. Other things that some people, elderly people, would probably more appreciate this. So we had a woman who was probably in her late 70s, early 80s, who came to the emergency department with multiple falls. So she came back twice in 1 week, and on the first time she really wasn't injured, probably bruised. The second time she came back, she broke her wrist. So, and kind of Denise was alluding to this before. So, you know, you're seen in the emergency department. The doctor comes over. He sees you. Oh, and the patient will probably say, I tripped and I fell. Great. Here you go. We sent you for an X-ray. I'll give you something for pain. We identify that you have a fracture. We put you into a splint or cast, and then we're going to send you home. In the geriatric emergency department, you would probably have, because of the history of falling, you would probably have an evaluation by a physical therapist to determine, can you safely walk, and is there an issue with balance or something else that may be causing it? So the downstream effect in this case is the woman, you know, broke her wrist, but it was identified that she had a gait disorder, and she didn't need to be admitted to the hospital. What she did need, though, was to be placed in a rehab facility. So directly from the emergency department, she went to a rehab facility because she met criteria to go there. And so the long and the short of it is we think that we probably can have prevented a fall, which may have meant a more serious injury like a subdural hematoma, which is bleeding, a skull fracture, a broken hip. And again, these are all major illnesses. And the benefit is you're, again, trying to identify a problem early on before that significant problem develops. And we in, you know, medicine today, we are reactionary instead of being proactive.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. That reminds me of a number of things. The hospital and foundation, with your help, has a speakers bureau. And recently, the three of us were at a senior community in Jackson called Four Seasons of Matitoconk. And I remember, Doctor, when you spoke to the audience, among other things, you mentioned how, notwithstanding the billions of dollars that are spent on health care today, we're not the most efficient nation when it comes to health care. And among other things, the vast majority of Medicare dollars are spent, unfortunately, in the last 30 days of a person's lifetime. So advocacy and patient information are crucial as people desire to age in place and are living longer. And that statistic that you mentioned about the 10,000 people a day turning 65 and aging, and the number of octogenarians in this country is mind-boggling. So a few things come to mind. Number one, that the hospital does have a speakers bureau, and I know that the enthusiasm and the information was so well received at that particular adult community that the men's club wants to have us back in the spring.
Men's club.
Because we spoke to the ladies' club.
Yeah.
So I'm reminding our listeners here on Inside the Law that if you are looking for a program on health care, the future of health care, and learning more about geriatric care and different tips and strategies that you can utilize to age in place, consider us, the three of us and others, a resource. And if you'd like to schedule a seminar in your backyard, in your community, feel free to call either Denise Gaffney at the hospital, or you can call me, Bob Novy. Yes, Denise, your number?
Yeah, I'll give you the number of the
Please.
Foundation. It's 732-886-4438, or GIFT.
GIFT. Or you can call me, Bob Novy, at Novy & Associates. That's 732-657-0600. And along with, if you'd like to receive literature and different articles that we've written over the years on elder law and different things that we should all be aware of in terms of aging in place and the importance of a financial power of attorney, a medical power of attorney, a living will, and other information. But Doc or Denise, are there places that seniors can go to keep abreast, to learn about additional information that's out there and kind of new technologies and strategies in healthcare for seniors that need to age in place and kind of want to stay on top of things? Anything that comes to your mind?
The only thing that comes to my mind, I really don't have the answer for that. I mean, certainly we try to get out into the community to educate people on what's happening in our communities. But we do have a website. Barnabas Health has a website.
Okay.
And that would be www.barnabashealth.com. And from that website, you could click on all the medical centers, which are 7 now within the system, and see what's going on at each of the centers. So that would be my recommendation for information.
I mean, Medicare's website, there's probably some places that are out there. Emergency medicine, there is a subgroup for geriatrics. And there is, if you probably Google ASEP and geriatric emergency medicine, they will probably give you a listing of what, because there's such a tremendous amount of research going on in this area right now.
Yes.
I think you're going to see this become, as those 10,000 patients a day get older, there's going to be a tremendous impetus to try to manage it. And that's what we're just preparing for, the management of this tsunami that's coming.
And I'm a member of the Governor's Commission on Alzheimer's Study, and we recently presented a seminar at Stockton College, and a number of members of the audience who have been affected by Alzheimer's directly or indirectly shared with us the lack of information on resources. So that's why I asked the question. But I guess another thought that comes to mind is many senior communities do offer health or sponsor health fairs, and there's a lot of information that regularly is available at those health fairs. Lauren, I understand we have a caller on line one. Lisa, thank you for tuning in Inside the Law, and how can we help you?
Good morning. How are you?
Fine. And you?
Very well. Thank you. The big debate here in my area is which is the better hospital. And my parents live in Forked River, so you can either, you know, the travel is about the same. Do you recommend an ER that's better than the other?
How do we
Such
answer
as, like,
that?
Mama South or community, or do you consider this care to be the same?
I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to say that Mama South has very, very high patient satisfaction scores.
Right, turnaround time. And
probably the best in
some
the
of the
state.
Best
scores in the state. But
I'm not familiar with all of the geography and the landscape. So if you have a true emergency, 911, you call 911, and you would go to the place that is the nearest to stabilize you. Okay, that is the premise, because you need to get the patient to the physician as quick as possible. Once the
And I'm also aware that if there's an ambulance involved, they have their orders as to who they're supposed to, which facility they're supposed to transport to.
Depending on what the problem may be. So there's different issues about where they will go, yes. So if you have a major traumatic injury, you will probably go to the trauma center. If you need to have, if you have a heart attack and you need to have the artery open, you'll probably go to a different location, because we've identified that the faster that you open the artery, the better that you are.
And the same thing with a stroke, for that matter.
Correct.
The quicker the stroke is addressed, the likelihood of a better outcome.
Correct. So, I mean, between the ambulance services that are out there, they are familiar with the different services that are available to the community. So that's always the first thing. But if you have a choice and there's a problem that's currently occurring, but it's not a true, what you would believe to be a life-threatening thing, then you could probably pick and choose, drive a couple of minutes extra, you know, out of your way to go and, get this additional service that would be provided.
Right.
But I always want to just emphasize that, you know, if it's a true emergency, dial 911 and then follow the path that brings you to whichever facility is deemed by the ambulance to have the capability to care for the patient. That's always paramount importance.
Yeah, and I guess I can say this fairly, that community can address, community medical in Tom's River, for example, can address certain cardiac issues if that hospital is close enough to where your parents live. Stroke, obviously, is within their specialties. They have a stroke center, a specialty stroke center now, which was developed recently with a lot of support and generosity of the Grunin family. There's cancer care and cancer treatment, again, through the generosity of the Sitta family and other services like that, and, of course, cancer as well, as I mentioned. And Monmouth North, of course, is now a big
our OBGYN, you know, we deliver more
right.
babies in Monmouth Ocean County than it's about 60%, I think, now of all the children in Monmouth Ocean come to Monmouth Medical Center Northern Campus.
Correct, if they don't go to community.
Correct.
And our daughter, by the way, is a postpartum nurse at your hospital at Monmouth North.
So we have the specialty care nursery, the NICU, and the children's hospital there. So
exactly. So
a nice continuum of care for pediatrics.
But the bottom line, Lisa, is this. Check Barnabas's website, which I'll give you again. Denise, that's www.barnabashealth.com. And I guess all of the services of the entire system are available, and any of the specialties and subspecialties will be displayed, and that might help, unless it's an emergency situation, that might help you or your parents, you know, identify what facility is the right one to go to. And also, of course, take this number down, and that's the hospital's main number, the Barnabas System's main number, which is 888-724-7123, which can be utilized if your folks are looking for a specific doctor in a specific specialty.
Well, you know, what I'm finding a lot is that the doctors are, their regular doctors are overbooked. So, you know, my mother went to what I call a doc in the box, which
yes.
is one of those walk-in facilities. Would you, I said to her, why didn't you just go to the emergency room? For some reason I have it in my head that those, walk-in facilities, I don't know.
Although
I don't think you really find the best care.
Well, the walk-in facilities in general are probably going to be very good at taking care of younger people who try to move through the system. You know, they're ambulatory.
Right.
And they tend to be lower acuity. Patients should go there, meaning simple problems that can be treated usually without the necessity of doing a lot of ancillary testing.
Right. But I'm sure she wouldn't have the same service as far as a communication line between her doctor when she finally got, you know, her in touch with her doctor with the as she would with the emergency room.
True.
There would be no communication, I'm thinking, right?
True. Unless there was some relationship. Now, if we look at the healthcare paradigm as it's shifting today and more patients are moving to this outpatient management,
mm-hmm.
Not only will it be the hospitals that are going to be connected with sharing information, the physicians' offices will soon be part of every hospital or hospital system. So what occurs in the physician's office will now be available to the provider in the hospital.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Lisa, I want to thank you for tuning in. We're almost out of time, but I just want to correct one thing we said earlier. The Barnabas website information is www.barnabashealth.org. I want to thank you for calling with your question, and hopefully if your folks are in need of physicians or care, hopefully not on an emergency basis, but if they're looking for some good quality doctors in different areas of medicine, please consider us as a resource, and that goes with any other listener here on today's show. And thank you for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Doc, I know, unfortunately, we only have a minute left, but I guess the bottom line is keep in touch with your doctor. Make sure that the doctors you're using accept the insurances that you have.
Yes.
I think we're still in an open enrollment now with Medicare and the supplemental insurances, and you should really talk to your doctor about what the insurances they accept.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, it's becoming very costly to have insurance, but you want to be certain that your physician is taking whatever type of insurance. Certainly, most physicians will probably be taking Medicare, but some physicians don't take some of the managed, maybe Medicaids or something like that. So it's important that you go and you just examine that, because the last thing you want is to get stuck in the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Inside Law. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And most importantly, Dr. Almeida and Denise Gaffney, thank you so much for all you do in keeping us healthy in our community. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show this morning.
Thank you, Bob. Happy holidays to everyone.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Likewise, and we look forward to doing this again in the future with more information. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Bye-bye. WOBM Lake.